Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans for our scripture reading this morning. Romans chapter 14. We've spent the last couple weeks there. We're going to go back there again and read the first 8 verses of the book of Romans. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the 6th book. Let's go to the 14th chapter and let's go to verse number 1. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And God's Word says this in the first 8 verses. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, as we read this portion of Scripture and discuss it, Father, this morning, I just want to present your truth to these people here, Lord. Father, I want your message to be something that we carry around in our hearts. Father, I need to hide behind the cross because I want everything that I say here this morning to be of your Spirit. So, Father, may the meditation of what I say be pleasing to you and be transforming in the lives of the people who need to hear it this morning. You get the praise and honor and glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I thought I was going to move on to something new and different this Sunday, but that's not the direction the Holy Spirit had me go. So I need to tie up some loose ends on this issue discussed here in Romans chapter 14. For the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about this series called, that the Apostle Paul calls, Disputable Matters. The translation Bible that I use, the New International Version, the NIV, calls them disputable matters. The New American Standard Bible calls them opinions. And the good old King James Version calls them doubtful disputations. Regardless of what they're called or what you want to call them, they have the potential for causing major problems in churches, and among Christians. A little bit of a recap. What have we learned so far? We've learned this, that these matters that Paul is talking about are not specifically commanded or prohibited in Scripture anywhere. They are neither moral nor immoral in themselves. They're just there. And you can see in your bulletin, I have kind of like Mike's a little list of them in your sermon notes. We've also learned that there are two extremes in disputable matters. On one side, you have the legalist, and they have the list, and that list has every conceivable disputable matter on it and how that matter should be handled. They just consult the list. And on the other side, you have the libertarians, They are the ones that thoroughly enjoy their freedom in Christ. They're kind of free-spirited. And because you have these two extremes among Christians, these matters often get disputed. Last week, we said that there were several questions that we need to ask ourselves when we're confronted with such a disputable matter. And for those that weren't here last week, let me go over those six questions just real quick. First question would be this: will it violate my conscience? Will it violate my conscience? Second question: will it help other believers by its example, by how I handle that situation? The third question: will it benefit my spiritual walk if I do this or don't do this? Number four: will it master me? Does it have the potential for becoming my master and I become its slave? Number five: will it be a cover-up for evil and sin? Do I do this so I can kind of put aside really my evil motives? And question number six: will it evangelize the unbeliever? If I do this or don't do this in front of an unbeliever, does it have the potential for planting or watering the seeds of the gospel in some way? But the bottom line in all this is, when we ask these questions, we have the opportunity to cultivate an intimate, ongoing, deep, and meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Instead of just going to the list or just being free-spirited, each situation should dictate, Lord, how should I handle this? And that continues that relationship and keeps it going. So with all that in mind, our review of the last 2 weeks, I just want to put some final touches on this issue that Paul is teaching us here in Romans 14. I know that the 4 points that we're going to cover that are your fill in the blanks in the bulletin, that I may have covered slightly over the last 2 weeks, but today we're going to cover them a little more in depth. So, let's get right to it. Our first fill in the blank in the bulletin would be this: are we certain that the issue is a disputable matter, or is it commanded or prohibited elsewhere in Scripture? Are we sure that it falls into this category of a disputable matter, or is there something written in the Bible, something in Scripture that deals specifically with that issue? Because there is a difference. And let's be aware that in Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul, he's never talking about a sinful situation, because we know that sinful situations fall into another category, and that's not disputable. Those are laws that are set by God Himself. So we want to see if these situations are laid down anywhere else in the Bible to give specific directions on which way to go. Now, you notice that what Paul gives here in Romans 14, his list of disputable matters is not as long as Mike's list. And let me tell you this, Mike's list, as outlined in the bulletin, is not as long as it could be either. Sure, there's many more things that we could add to that. But in Romans 14, he's only talking about two different issues that are going on at the church in Rome at that time. One is what food to eat or not to eat, and the other is what days are sacred or not sacred. And let me give you just a little bit of background. What food to eat might be because of one of two reasons. One might be because of the Jewish people who are coming to Christianity, and they're used to the old Jewish law of all these foods that were outlined in the Mosaic law. Yes, you can eat this. No, you can't eat this. And they want to kind of bring that into Christianity with them. Or you could have the Gentile converts that are coming into Christianity that are used to this thing called food and meat that was sacrificed to idols that they might want to stay away from. So they're bringing these issues into the church with them. And also they're bringing into issues the fact that are days more days sacred than others. the Jewish people had their days that were sacred as outlined in the Mosaic Law. And the Gentile believers that were converted have their certain days. And it's causing a lot of controversy in the church because they want to bring this stuff that they remember from their past and past ways of doing things into the church. And Paul's saying here, we don't need to dispute these things because they're not that big of an issue. But on the other hand, don't dispute among yourselves. Whatever you feel is the right thing to do in your mind is the right thing to do. How would this apply to us today? I have a very good example. One issue that's on Mike's list, written in the bulletin, is clothing styles. Clothing styles. Now, let me expand that just one step further to clothing styles that are worn in church. Ooh. As I look around the church, I see a variety of clothing styles that we all wear. I am a tie guy. I wear a tie. I like to wear a tie. Half the men in here right now are going like this. I like ties. And I can't wait till the weather gets a little bit cooler and I can start wearing my sports coat again. That's the way that I like to dress in church. But that might not be you. And that's okay. All right? Are we okay with that? That's okay. It's okay. Some ladies like to wear dresses to church. Some ladies like to wear slacks. So what you wear is up to you. What you like to wear to church is up to you. And we should not dispute such decisions as to, well, am I going to force everyone to wear a tie or whatever? It's not an issue. Until. Let's talk about the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those three books are called the pastoral letters. The pastoral letters are this. Paul wrote two of them to Timothy, who was assigned the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and Titus, who was assigned the pastor to be the pastor at the church on the island of Crete. Those three books are guidelines as to what should happen in the church. As a matter of fact, I am going to read just two little verses out of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Why did Paul write these letters? Verses 14 and 15 answers that question. He says this, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, here's the key part, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now, with that in mind, since he's writing these as how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, I'm going to go back one chapter to chapter 2. And does Paul say anything about the way we should dress? And he does say this in verses 9 and 10. Now, he's specifically addressing the women, but I'm going to take that a step further. 9 and 10, chapter 2, I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who praise to worship God. Let me just sum that up in a very, very simple statement. And it would say this. We do not wear clothing or accessories to church that bring attention to us. It's that simple. It's that simple. And let me just say this. We come to church to worship God. We don't come to church to worship you or me. We are here to worship God. And we are here not to get distracted by you or distracted by me. Let me give you a very good example. Every Christmas Eve, it was the tradition in our family, she's already smiling because she knows what story I'm going to tell, to go over her mother's house for a Christmas Eve. I used to love to go over her mother's house on Christmas Eve. She had family there, friends there, and she baked the greatest cookies ever. But one of the things about Christmas Eve service was this. We would go to her mother's church, Memorial Baptist Church, for their Christmas Eve service. At the Christmas Eve service, they would have one of three things going on. We would, as a congregation, we would sing some Christmas songs. There would be a communion service. There would be a candlelight service, and all that was very good. But they also had this time where different people from the congregation could come forward and sing Christmas hymns or Christmas songs. And I still remember this one year where this woman came up to sing her Christmas song. And how do I put this? She was a distraction. She was a distraction. I know that God has blessed some people with being more beautiful than others. But don't ask me what she sang, because I don't know. Okay, there's a little confession there. It should never get to that point where we come to church where it's all about us, because it's not all about us. And I think for the most part, everybody here dresses the way they feel comfortable, and that's okay. But God's Word does outline, even though our clothing styles could be disputable matters, and I'm not going to say anything if you wear jeans or whatever you wear to church, but it can cross the line of a disputable matter into a law that has been set down by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's not bring attention to us, because it's not about us. So we need to be certain that the issue at hand is not commanded or prohibited anywhere else in Scripture before we place it in the category of being a disputable matter. Let's go to the second one. If I went down through my list of disputable matters, and again, I have some of them outlined in the bulletin, and we could add more to that list, and I ask everyone in here, if I just picked out one of those, and I ask everyone in here what was their view on that particular issue, we would get a variety of answers. I understand that, because we all think just a little bit different. I guarantee that my thoughts and your thoughts might not be the same on any particular issue. But I believe the reason we have these diverse opinions is also the reason we have probably 17 zillion different denominations in the world, because some people want to take each little disputable matter and make a whole denomination out of it. Some people will say they're part of an established good denomination, but they feel like, well, we need to worship on Saturday. So they'll step over here and they'll start their own little church and their own little denomination because they believe we need to worship on Saturday, by golly. Or you get some other church, and maybe I'm exaggerating here a little bit, where they tell every man in the church, you must wear a tie if you're coming to church. Please do not step into this sanctuary if you don't have a tie on. Or let me really take it to the absurd, where you have a list of ushers standing at the door who are welcoming people in who take another disputable matter, and as new people are walking in, they ask him this question: do you put up a Christmas tree at Christmas time? Because if you do, might make the difference if I'm going to let you into this church or not. Now again, that's going to the absurd, but I'm trying to make a point here that some people take disputable matters and they take them to the extreme. A friend of mine quite often reminds me that we don't do well as humans. And he's right. But could you imagine how much better Christians would all get along if we would just quit disputing disputable matters? Our second fill in the blank would say this, based on what I just said. Do not judge your brother or sister in Christ for their decision in disputable matters. For their decision in disputable matters. I'm not going to judge you if you want to wear what you want to wear to church. And I hope you don't judge me because I'm a tie guy. I like my tie. That's just what I got to do. There is a time to judge, the Bible does tell us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says that there was a serious issue going on in the church at Corinth. And it was concerning sexual immorality. And in verse 12 of that chapter, Paul writes and he says this, are we not to judge those inside the church? And he says this, and later on, expel the wicked man from among you. So there is a time that we are to judge. When a brother or sister in Christ is caught in a sin, we are not only should judge that person, but the Bible actually commands us that we are to judge that person. But Galatians 6:1 says this, we judge people with the intention of restoring that person, and we need to restore that person gently, as it says in Galatians 6:1. So yes, there is a time to judge our brothers and sisters in Christ according to what Scripture teaches us. But judging someone over disputable matters is not that place and time. And we must remember that Romans 14, verse 3 says this, that God has accepted that person for their decision. God has accepted me because I decided to wear a tie. God has accepted you because you decided to wear jeans. And it is before God that that person will stand or fall for whatever decision that they make. Number three, we're going to have the same fill in the blank will be the same word that we used in the second one. Your decision in the matter should result in giving thanks to God. Your decision in the matter should result in giving thanks to God. I just want to read verse 6 to you again here that we read in Romans 14. And it says this, just verse 6. It says, he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so for the Lord and gives thanks to God. The key there is giving thanks to God in whatever the decision is that we make. But I'm going to do a substitution thing here. And if you remember over the last 2 weeks, I used that personal example of me listening to rock and roll music, okay? I said that for me, listening to oldies, 60s and 70s rock and roll music was okay. And that might not be for some other people. So the issue here in the church at Rome was eating meat, but I'm going to substitute my listening to oldies rock and roll into that same verse, and that same verse would sound something like this. Verse 6. He who listens to oldies rock and roll music does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. And he who abstains from listening to oldies rock and roll music does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So what I want you to do sometime today, tomorrow, this week, what disputable matter possibly do you have going on in your life that may be written on that list that I have or maybe something that I never thought of? And I want you to just take verse 6 of Romans chapter 14 and kind of substitute your situation into that verse. And just listen to hear how it sounds to you. And the result of what you hear yourself saying just might have a little different bearing on your decision of how you handle that matter. Now, let's go to our last one. Verse 12. I know we only read up to verse 8 in our scripture here this morning, but verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." So our fill in the blank is pretty much that. Each of us will give an account of himself or herself to God for the way we handle disputable matters. Now, there's two ways we handle disputable matters. It's how we handle them ourselves, if it's just ourselves, or me involved with God in that situation. Again, my example, if I'm just going down the road and I feel like listening to my old music, is that going to be okay with me and God? And then how we handle those disputable matters when we have other believers in our presence. Again, the situation I gave you last week. If I'm riding down the road and my friend Paul was in the car with me, to him, he did not want to listen to oldies music. He gave that stuff up a long time ago. So for me to put that CD in would have been the wrong thing to do. So we're going to have to give an account of ourselves of how we handle that disputable matter situation, not only for within ourselves, but how we handle it with other believers. Verses 17 and 19, there in Romans 14, and we'll finish up with this, tells us this. Verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And verse 19 says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." If we just took those verses, it says this, the kingdom of God, what Christianity is all about, what we're supposed to believing, what we're supposed to be doing with each other, it's not about the clothing that we wear. It's not about the music that we listen to. It's not about the food that we eat, and it's not about the days that we consider sacred, and it's not about a lot of the other things that are written in your bulletin. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. It's about peace. And it's about joy. And verse 19 says it's about this, mutual edification. It's about me helping to build you up. It's about you helping that other believer to build them up. But boy, sometimes we can be so human, can't we? Sometimes we don't do well as humans. That we can take disputable matters and really just beat each other up over and over and over and over again. When the Holy Spirit clearly tells us, it's not about that. It's not about who's right and who's wrong and whose opinion matters more. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, joy, and building each other up in the love of Jesus Christ, and certainly not tearing each other down. So, let's be certain that the matter falls into the disputable category and is not outlined somewhere else in Scripture specifically. Two, let's not judge other believers for their decision, what they make and how they handle that disputable matter. Three, whatever we decide to do in that disputable matter, we need to make sure that it results in giving thanks to God. And fourth and finally, we will all be accountable, as Scripture teaches us, for how we handle these matters ourselves and with other believers. I'll conclude by just saying this. I know for me personally, this is just Mike talking, that reading and studying and preparing for these messages the last 3 weeks has really taught me a very, very valuable lesson. And for that, I give God praise. Let's go to God in prayer.